Good morning. To those who were here yesterday and helped, you're so appreciated, and we thank you so much for your work. And I know I want to give particular thanks to Sherry and Bob Thurman, who came right early and really did a whole lot of work. And we appreciate all of you, and you're a blessing to each and every one of us. This morning, I want to talk to you about the subject cleared for takeoff. Now, that sounds trite. I know that we've heard that saying for a long time, but the reason that I chose this is because it also goes with a series of messages that I've been delivering over a period of a couple of months, and this seems to be the next logical progression in my mind. I hope you will feel the same way when I'm finished. I wanted to be a pilot when I was a young man. I was all of 12 or 13, and the thing that I wanted to do more than anything is get in these jumbo jets and turn on the key and push it and fly. But the problem was, is there's about 150 things you have to do before you can do that. And one of the things you have to do is know math very well and aerodynamics very well. And the more I learned about it, the more I kind of shrunk back, and I thought, well, maybe not 727s, maybe the Learjets, and maybe not Learjets, maybe prop planes. And even finding out, I thought, well, maybe I'll just watch them. And I love to watch them take off and land, and I love to be around flight and aviation. I always enjoyed the idea of being above and beyond and flying and moving. It just seemed like such a great way to make a living and such a way to spend the day. I mean, doing something you love, flying and so forth like that. But when I found out that even when you've gone through all the education to be an aviator, you still have so many things you have to do before you can take off. There's all kinds of switches, all kinds of time it takes. It takes about 30 minutes when you start a jumbo jet to the point you can start taxiing and even start get ready to fly. So you see, there's steps that we must go through when we're flying for safety, or that pilots must go through for safety's sake. And I thought about that as it relates to us. What do we do when we want to take off to a new place or a new goal? What's our checklist? What are the things that we have to either give up or make sure the boxes are checked that we can walk on and walk into newness of life? Well, one of the things that I've observed over 40 years in Unity is you have to forgive and let go of the things that hurt. And I said when I first came here that humans can be kind of strange in the fact that we almost enjoy some pain sometimes. We bite down on a sore tooth, or we can pick at a hangnail, and we say it hurts so good. And I feel that that can happen with our own mental and emotional pains. We hold on to them because they kind of give us a sense of identity, and we know that this is who we are as a hurt person, as an offended person, as one who loves this, dislikes that. We form an identity, or what's called the ego, the personality. And so when we talk about newness of life and something we want to do, and we feel like we can't do it, it's because we're carrying so much, both positive and negative, with us into the new thing we want to experience. When we clear ourselves for takeoff, what we have to do is sort of like, and I'm using a lot of technological examples today, but do you remember having to defrag your computer or dump temporary internet files? These are things that your computer picks up in the normal course of the day of using it that slows it down, and that when you press this button on your computer, it's all gone and you reset and you start over. Well, our brains are much like computers. They are goal-seeking and goal-striving mechanisms. They are set by us to go to a place whether we know it or not. If we don't set our goals, they're set by default, which usually comes from our past. So we're letting our past run our present if we don't take care of our minds for the future. In other words, we drag all this stuff along and we say, this new life, this unity, this science of mind, this metaphysics doesn't work, when we haven't followed one or two very basic ideas and truths to let go of the lesser so that you can hold the greater. Those things that weigh us down, those hurts, those things that sometimes we prize, as I said, they give us a sense of identity, a hurt person, an offended person, whatever it is that our ego needs to hold on to. But you see, since we talk about newness of life, and that's what I believe so fervently in, that you can stop and change on a dime, because all you have to do is change your mind. Happiness is one thought away. Now, I don't mean to be trite. Some of us need the experience of therapy. Some of us need the experience of healing. Some of us have to take time to let things go. But eventually there comes a moment when you're ready and clear to take off in your mind. You have done the work. You've forgiven. You've affirmed. And you've said two very sacred words, probably, I am. So if it is, say you want to lose weight, you say, I am a healthy eater. If you want to forgive somebody, you say, I am loving and accepting, and I forgive. I am are creative words in Scripture. They are the words of God. They are the words in the Old Testament, how God identified himself, herself. I am, the great I am. So when we say I am, we have to be careful what we put in front of that. Just like I did, I said, I am not very good at math. And that's probably why I'm not. That I am will get you. So I could say, up till now, I haven't chosen to go into algebraic problems that I didn't like in my teens, and I probably could do it real well, but I don't want to. So it's not I am bad at math. It is I just don't want to do it. And in my particular work, I don't need to. And it even got to the point where I thought that I had some type of mathematics disorder. I just hated it. But I had a psychologist friend who I said, I think I have a math disorder, and he was listed to me, and he took out some squares of a comic strip that were laminated, and they were all mixed up. And while I was talking, he said, put these in this order that makes sense. So I was talking to him, and I saw the beginning, the comet, the middle, and all like that, and there were eight parts of the strip, and it all made sense. And he said, I said, there it is. And he said, you don't have a mathematics disorder. You just hate math. Because it was using the same part of my brain that has to do with numbers. It's just that I didn't like the numbers part. See how we tell ourselves things that may not be true. And this was before the time of psychological assessments for ministers and all like that. Now I just go into one of those assessments and say, I don't want to mess with math. And most of the time, those that oversee this are nice enough to say, you don't have to, we're going to talk about other things. It's just, that's, I'm saying I am not a mathematician. But I am one who is willing to learn. And that's where I have to get from that place to the other, to be willing to let go of my resentment, my upsetness, my dislike of the mathematical process. To get rid of the things that you want to get rid of, you have to be willing to let go, be willing to say, I am finished with this, and I am ready to receive my good, the newness, the wonder, the presence of God, whatever it is that you want. People have said to me, you know, I've seen people who are not religious and they're not in metaphysics and they're basically agnostic or atheist and they succeed. How is that so? I said, well, did you ever think that they're using the same principles that you are? Because they're worldwide laws of life. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. James Allen in As a Man Thinketh says, why does trouble befall a good man, and why does wonder befall a bad? Why the good thing? He said, because there are some places in the bad man that are good, and there are some places in the good man that are bad. Now, I know that's pretty rough, but that's about what he said. We don't know the contents of another person's soul. We barely know our own. We have really no right to judge someone else or ourselves. Judgment is just a way of saying, I need to be right and I need to make sense. Love opens the heart and says, I forgive myself for judgment. I forgive myself for what I have against me and other people, and I'm willing to walk in newness of life. That's the wonder of the thought that can be changed on a dime and a new life can be had. When I say cleared for takeoff, not only I am presence with you and me, I will. Will is a faculty of the 12 powers of man that Charles Fillmore talks about. Will is very, very important because it is the process by which I am is carried out. To say, I'll try is one thing. To say, I will is something else. Try connotes and suggests that you're not very sure you can do it. And that's all right. You may not be. But to say, I will, backs you up with a larger process and a different mindset that says, I'm going to, and if I fail, then I'll worry about that and work backwards. Try says, it connotes timidity or a trepidation. I like the idea of taking the gates of heaven by storm. I love the idea of walking forward and saying, I don't want this anymore. I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to have unforgiveness against myself or anybody else anymore. I am grabbing and holding on to the promises of the ages, the promises of God and every spiritual teacher that's ever been worth his or her salt. We're about newness. Life is about newness. Catherine Ponder told me once, she said, you know what life abhors? And I said, a vacuum? And she said, well, yes, that's one thing. She said, but have you seen a stagnant pond? And I said, many times. What is the one thing they all have in common? Well, there was Catherine Ponder asked me a question. I didn't want to mess up. And I said, they all stink. They're all black. And I said, they don't move. And she said, that's right. There's no inlet of anything fresh and clear. It's all black and stagnant. There is no circulation. She said the law of life is one of circulation, one of completion, one of circuity. I love that because when you have a stagnant pond and you put fresh water in it, it displaces it and pretty soon it's all brand new. The law of life is one of completion and movement and forward motion. The only thing that is good about the past is that we learn either how to do something or how not to do something. I believe what's learned can be unlearned. I believe what you've told yourself or what somebody else has told you about yourself can be forgiven, forgotten, and replaced by other thoughts. I know I've mentioned the idea of the mind being a goal-seeking mechanism, but it is. You set it for what you want, and you go forward towards that goal. And the only thing that generally stops you is yourself and what you tell yourself about the things that come before you that are going to be natural and normal when you begin to change, when you begin to do something different. It's not all going to be perfectly easy. But that doesn't mean we don't affirm that. We can affirm that so our mindset is ready to receive where that ease and perfection is. But life is a challenge. I quote Scott Peck, who wrote The Road Less Traveled. And I know that's not a Unity author, but I love the beginning of his work because he said at the very beginning, life is difficult. And it is. And Max Cleland, the United States Senator from Georgia and the triple amputee, said, life breaks all of us when we can be strong at the broken places. And I remember the idea that when a metal piece of iron is broken and it's welded again in that place, it becomes stronger than it ever was. The break, the thing that was meant to destroy it, made it stronger. Life's slings and arrows and problems are not meant to defeat us and lay us low. They are meant to make us. And while we may not understand all that we're called on to go through right now, One day, we'll look back and we'll say, I'm glad for this. It helped make me who I am. Or we at least may feel neutral and say, it was what it was. But I doubt if we've grown in grace and love and wonder, we're going to look back on any experience and say, that was so horrible. And I judge it as terrible. Because it helped make you who you are right now. In other words, by mental alchemy, you took what was designed for negativity and problems and hurt and upset, and you changed it, and you took that and turned a twist on it and made it light. And you made it something that you could walk forward on, a beam of light from the shadow. You know, it's also trite to say, keep your face towards the sun and you won't see the shadows. But you know what? I found that to be true. I get a lot of what I focus on. And I expect that happens with you too. You'll find evidence of the things that you feel inside. It said a happy person lives in a happy world. An unhappy person lives in an unhappy world, and they can occupy the same town or sometimes the same house. And usually when one is very unhappy and one is trying to be happy, it creates a chemicalization of problems. That's why it's good for you to be on the same wavelength as those who are close to you. That's why it's good to assemble like this. We're coming together to affirm our wholeness, not our brokenness. We're affirming the fact that we're God's perfect creation. We are the apple of His eye. We're the ones who were given the power of choice and reason and rationality and the most important thing of all, love. Love is who we are. It is the only thing we are. The sole purpose of life is to love and be loved. Of course, in Miracle states it well by saying love is all there is, and there's only fear and love. Leave fear behind and embrace love. I've never seen, and some of you might know that I'm stealing from Dale Carnegie here, but I've never seen a statue built to a critic. I've never seen a thoroughly negative, upset, hurt individual be honored by the ages. Those that produce negativity, those that produce the problems of the world, those who project all their inner frustrations and hatreds out on the rest of us, they're forgotten. And we honor those who call forth the best in us. The Gandhis, the Thoreaus, the Emersons, the Peels, the Nightingales, the Maltzes. I know I'm mentioning some august company, but all of these people talked about how you could grow, change, and become a different person. Newness is what I'm talking about. Clearing yourself for takeoff means letting it go and embracing that that's better. And sometimes it's fearful to reach out to something you're not sure about. You don't know if it's going to be exactly what you thought. But you know what? If it isn't, you can always change your mind about it. You also can let it go. But you're in a new experience, and you've got a new idea about what this is, and it prepares you for the next. And you know, I found a way not to do it. I move forward to another way. Over and over, that's what life is. But see, we want to feel secure. And in life, there's not really stone-cold security. We try for it, but life's an experiment. It's an adventure, but it's an experiment. And it's an experiment in what works and what doesn't work for you, for me. I've had folks come to me and say, have you tried Reiki? I have. Have you tried Kirlian photography? I have. Aura balancing? I have. These are all wonderful things that comprise what they call the New Age community that is also allied with New Thought. And people have said, what do you think of this? I say, if these things work, I'm all for them. Because I believe that it is your belief system that makes things work. You must believe in what's happening for it to work. Or for you to have any benefit for any long term. The Bible says what proceeds out of the mouth of a person is more important than what goes in. So for my particular ideals, it's the mind that is the causative factor, the causative force of our life, and what we believe about ourselves and others. Where did we get those beliefs? How do we hold on to them? Why do we hold on to them? And what can we do to let them go? So now I'd like to move into the places that you can say you're cleared to take off for what you want. One thing is, and I'd like for all of you to do it, not necessarily now, but maybe this week, find five things that you're grateful for. Five. I don't know why that number is magic, because seven is supposed to be, and it always has been, but in New Thought circles, and especially through Dr. Ponder and Emmett Fox and so forth, I've noticed that they've said, get five things that mean something to you, that you're grateful for. And then I'm going to add to this and say, find five things about yourself or your life that you'd like to let go. Write these down. There is something about having it in front of you on paper that makes a difference. I didn't believe that when my father told me that. When I was feeling upset and negative as a kid, he would always say, write it down and you'll feel so much better. He said that dad stuff that turned out to be so true. You know, he said, it's very hard for you to be depressed when you're moving. I didn't want to move when I was upset. But when I did what he said, it really was hard to stay in that mood when I was moving. My father had a lot of wisdom, and that's a subject for a Father's Day message coming up. But as you know, the old saying is, the older I get, the more right my father was and is. I learned that there's a reason for that, and now as I get into a certain age, I look back and I think, why was youth wasted on some of my choices? Because we have to live in a... It wasn't really wasted. I became what I was, finally what I wanted. I resisted a call that finally was irresistible. And now I am where I want to be, and I want to help others get where they want to be. Five things you're grateful for. Five things you'd like to lose. Five things that you feel that are not for your highest and best. And then I would suggest that you journal about that. And then I would say, on our New Year's coming up, those negative things, put them in our burning bowl. To burn them is a significant act. That's a way of clearing yourself for takeoff, is when you see all the negativity go up in smoke behind you. It's a literal act of a figurative idea in your mind. You see, these are all outward things we're doing to reset our mind. Even the taking of medication. No matter what it is, we are trying to align ourselves with a life force that upholds us, excuse me, and makes us new every moment. Health, life, and goodness is what life is pointing to all the time. You cut your hand, and immediately a force comes to begin to heal it. That's part of the force that goes through us and that is ready for us to access 24 hours a day, anytime we want. We hold ourselves back. And as I look back on my life, the things that have been my biggest enemy have not been out there, they've been in here. That's why I said I knew life proceeded from here out. That's a hard one sometimes, especially if someone has made it their life mission to be oppressed and to embrace victimhood. Now, I'm not saying that life doesn't break some people at some pretty hard places, but the choice to remain broken, the choice to remain down and negative and withholding your own potential is a choice that's made by the individual. That's why when I hear about somebody's problems and I am very empathetic and I feel them very deeply, I'm always thinking, how do we get past this and step up? Even if it's a small step, to step up so that they can see things or I can see things from just a little different point of view. Just a subtle shift, a subtle change. It's true, we do become what we think about. So it's incumbent on us to think the best of ourselves and think the best of where we are and to affirm that we go forward in this newness of life and in God's love and in God's grace. The second thing besides writing down the five grateful things and the five negative things, I challenge you to revisit something that you thought was not for you. earlier in your life, you may have tried something. You may have had a dream. You may have had something that really floated your boat. And you decided, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. It may have been anything from dancing to a craft to trying something different. And you said, that's not for me. And it may not be for you at this stage of your life. But so many times we forego those things that make us dance inside, that give us a lift, because we're scared we'll fail at them. You know, one of the things that Wayne Dyer said is, go and don't do your best. Just try. A woman came to him who said in his counseling session, she said, I've never rode a bicycle, never learned, and I want to. And she said, we're going to have some therapy about that. And Wayne said, no, we're going to go downstairs and get on a bicycle. She said, but I'm going to fall. I said, well, you'll wobble, but you're going to learn. That's the secret. We could talk things ourselves into and out of. It all begins here, but we have to take the action steps. We have to be willing to literally be changed. You know, most people want to be transformed, but they don't want to be inconvenienced. We have to be willing to let go of those sacred cows, those things that have held us back. And when we walk in newness of life, we feel it. It's lighter. We forgive ourselves and others. We're ready for it. It was like working yesterday outside. I don't know why I had this thing about this shed out there, but I did. And if you look on the concrete, it says 12160. In my sentimental way, I think, I wonder what these people were doing in 1960. What were they building? And you know, I build these stories in my mind, you know, who was here, what was going on. And I looked at the thing, and it was rotten. And people would look at me and say, Jay, it's rotten. You can't do anything with it. And even when it was coming down, there was a feeling inside me, I don't want to see that happen. But you know what? What are we going to do with it in 2019 and 20? What are we going to do that expands us and shows unity of Bernie to everybody in a new way? It's fine to revere and be nostalgic for a little while, but we have things to do and places to grow as well as go. So the shed's gone, but at least the foundation's there, and it still says 1960, and I'm all right with that. I just don't want to see us jackhammer up the foundation, but we might have to. Who knows? Anyway, we have to be willing to let go of the lesser and embrace the greater. And so when we grow and we know that something is changing, we feel it inside, that gives birth to the willingness for the next step. We don't contract when it feels good. So therefore, when it doesn't feel so good, we have to be willing to step forward and experience some inconvenience and maybe some negative feelings inside, getting past those knowing we can. Don't embrace where you are. Forgive where you are if you need to. Love yourself. You know, Louise Hay took some criticism because she would say one of the things that you need to do, whether you believe it or not, is step in front of a mirror and say, I love you, I accept you unconditionally, and I forgive you. She said to do this 5 and 6 and 10 times a day, even if you didn't believe it. But you know what was interesting? After the second or third or 200th time, some people would say, I felt something break inside, or I felt something kind of dislodge, and I do love that person. And sometimes it would be accompanied with tears, and there was all kinds of things that would happen as old patterns broke up. And the people were clearing themselves for their own new takeoff, the new concept of themselves. Each one of us has something like that. But we also have some great things that we've done and some wonderful things that we remember. My third suggestion is that you anchor those great memories, the feeling, to what you want to accomplish now. Kathy Beam in 1980 wrote a poem that I can't quote exactly, but she was lamenting the fact that she was lonely on a Saturday night. And she said, I don't wish that I could remember all the dates, and I don't wish that I could remember all the places we went. I don't want to remember the consequence or even the circumstance, but the feeling. Neville, the great teacher, said, feeling is the secret. Anchor your new desires to the feelings of success and wonder you had in the past. Feeling is the secret. Rhonda Byrne talked about the secret as the law of attraction. And you can only really attract what you feel and what you hold in your mind. You go to those wonderful memories and you, by way of mental alchemy, press that in with what you want right now and you connect with those wonderful feelings. You could step forward and make new memories and make yourself new at the same time that you're bringing these wonderful feelings that you remember from the past. If there's a way that you can do that, and the way I found to do it is to get in that place that I was that felt so good and then visualize what I want to have happen right now. Marry, for want of a better word, those two together and go forward. Feeling is a secret. Emotions are what animate us, what make us, and they can work for us and they can work against us. What I want to see all of us do here is have a life that works. And the life that works to me is happiness. And happiness is, so long as you're not hurting someone else or yourself, do what you want. Do what floats your boat. Don't die with your music still inside you. No, if there's something that you want to do, revisit it. Get a new concept of you. That's what night and day is about. That's why time is here. That's why we're on this earth. We're here to experiment. And there's no sin but a mistake. As you probably know, sin is an ancient term that was used for missing the mark. It wasn't meant for angry, wrathful God. It was more like a mistake. I missed it. I'll do better next time. Life is an experiment. Make yours the best. Make it one that when it comes time to let it go, you can say, wow, what a ride. I gave and left everything I had. I think those that are the most fearful of life's end are those who regret and say, I wish I'd taken that chance when I could have. I wish I'd forgiven that person when I had the chance. And then I look back and I see if I was that person, I probably would have done the same thing. All of a sudden you understand things that you may not have understood years ago. I don't want it to be when I'm on a deathbed. I don't want it to be for anybody like that. I want to come to the end and say, wow, God, what's next? What a ride I have. And I think that's what each of us want. We don't want to be scared and fearful and timid. We know there's a better way to live. I invite you to embrace that today and through this week. Five things you're grateful for, five things you want to release. Write about them and see what happens. I wish you miracles, joy, wonder, and peace. And so it is. You know, to applaud before a message is an act of faith. To applaud during a message is an act of hope. And to do it afterwards is an act of charity. And I appreciate that applause. I thank you for that. It means so much to me that you get something from this. I love you all.